Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And if you wouldn't mind silencing your cell phones and try to keep your stomachs from grumbling too loudly, I'd appreciate that. A couple of years ago, or maybe about a year and a half ago, Shirley and I went up to the Ronald Reagan Library. Has anybody ever been up there? It's really a beautiful place. And we saw the Auschwitz exhibit. Did anyone see that? No. It's called Auschwitz Not Long Ago, Not Far Away. So we walked through this amazing exhibit, very detailed, very emotional, you know, through the whole thing. And then we got to the end, to the door that led outside, and there was a plaque on the wall with a bunch of names on it. And I was just standing there waiting for, I think Shirley was coming up from behind, and I was looking at the names, and I looked at one name, and I just started crying. Broke down. Fortunately, there was a docent standing right next to me with a box of Kleenex. Well, the name just happened to be Lederer. Lederer. My great-great uncle, George Lederer, was a businessman in Providence, Rhode Island. He was a jeweler and a leader in a synagogue, and he was a really generous, nice person. And he took our whole family back to the East Coast long ago when we were kids and had a wonderful time, saw a lot of beautiful things, went into the first synagogue in the United States, and it was pretty amazing. So anyway, on this day, like most religious Jews, my uncle would rest, he'd fast, and he'd pray, and he'd seek forgiveness for his sins, you know, to God, and for sins towards other people that he had a problem with, or they had a problem with him, to reconcile those grievances. In Leviticus 25:9, you don't need to turn there, but it's regarding the Jubilee. So every 50 years, the Jubilee would come around, and it was a trumpet was sounded on this day, on the when the Jubilee started, the day it started on the Day of Atonement with a trumpet blast. And you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. So on that day, you know, people that had lost their property, that had become in servitude to other people, were released from all that and were able to go back, have a reset, be reconciled, have everything back to normal, which is pretty awesome. I think it, if I have it right, I think just one time during the days of Joshua it was celebrated, so unfortunately. But that will happen again someday soon. So should we as Christians look on this day? My uncle looked at it on that in a way like that, but as a day of reconciliation. So we know by definition that God is love. God loves us and wants to be in a loving relationship with each one of us. Phrases like bride and bridegroom, marriage and betrothal indicate how deep that relationship that God wants to have with us. But through human history, all through human history, we've turned our backs on God. We've gone into idolatry and sin. And it's our own fault. But God still always wanted to reconcile with us. He always wanted that, even though we didn't deserve it. So on this day, every year, in ancient Israel, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, and he would take the blood of a bull, and he would take the blood of a goat. The blood sacrifice. But obviously that was symbolic of something to come. And in Hebrews 9:12, we can read in Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So once for all, who are the all? Who is he referring to? Us. He went in there with his own blood to God the Father into the real Holy of Holies and presented that sacrifice to his Father, which the Father accepted for us, for our sins. So Jesus, as we know, died and was in the grave 3 full days and nights. He was resurrected for us. He was the true sacrifice for sin, not a shadow of things to come. And before his Father, he offered himself for our sins. So sin separated us from God. But now, as the Father has accepted that sacrifice for our sins, we may be reconciled to God. What he's wanted all along. So you know, in our own little way, you know, we're just people. We're people. We're not God. Someday we'll be in the God family. But right now, shouldn't we also seek reconciliation with each other on this day and all days, actually? Matthew 5:23 through 25. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. God doesn't want us to have unresolved conflicts with each other or with him. Sometimes we get angry, okay? We get upset, we get angry, we have a beef with somebody, and that happens. But remember this. Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So God doesn't want us to, you know, go to bed mad. We need to humble ourselves, seek peace and mercy, forgiveness, and be reconciled. Many years ago, my dad and I got into a fight, and some very harsh words were said. And we were separated for a number of years, and it was very, very sad, really. So over time, I was in the church at the time, and you know, eventually God started working on me, and a book came into my hands that helped me to realize I was the one that needed to go, and I did. And I wasn't sure whether he'd respond in a positive way or not, but he did, you know. And we reconciled, and what a weight lifted off my heart and my dad. We had a great relationship after that. So it's not easy, you know, it's not easy. It takes a little bit of courage, and it takes a sacrifice, you know, sometimes to make up with people. God certainly did with us. He sacrificed his own son for us. So a little article, I like to read a little article. It was written in Guidepost magazine a long time ago, 1972. It was in a church in Munich where I was speaking in 1947 that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, and the next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Memories of the concentration camp came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, and the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard in Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fraulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fraulein. Again, hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase the slow, terrible death simply by asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that the message God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Still, I stood there with coldness clutching my heart, but forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the healing, the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me, and as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. It's not easy to seek reconciliation. It takes sacrifice, you know, maybe of your pride. And it makes you vulnerable. God gave up his own son so that we could be reconciled with him. We should also reconcile with each other and seek peace. My great uncle George Lederer kept this day the best he knew how. Even though he didn't know Jesus in this life, I'm sure he will rejoice when once again he keeps this day in its fullness and understands the meaning of those symbols and who the true high priest is, Jesus Christ, and what was sacrificed so that he could be truly reconciled with God. The Day of Atonement, a day of reconciliation.